Our scripture reading for today is from John chapter 14, verses 15 through 27. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. For he lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Please bless our scripture reading for
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Thank you.
We are family in temperature. Please, would you pray with me? Father, it is your word that we have in front of us, not mine. It is yours, and I simply ask that you would take me out of your way. May you speak to us, and may the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, may they be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. For you, O God, are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Why am I a Christian? That's what we're talking about. So far, we talked about the fact that Jesus saves us from the incredible peril of sin. We talked about the fact that Jesus has given us eternal life and that Jesus forgives us. Jesus always forgives us. By the way, how many of you need forgiveness in here? I do. Let me tell you what I was working diligently at my desk last Wednesday, having a great time, getting a lot done. All of a sudden, my phone rings, and I said, "Hello?" And this voice says, "We're waiting for you." "Who are you?" "Well, we're the people at Orchard Creek where you're supposed to do the chapel today." "Oh, sorry." And I dashed over there and I walked in and I said, "You know what they say?" And they go, "No." And I said, "I can't remember either." but I said, "Today I'm talking about forgiveness. Isn't that awesome?" And we had a wonderful time. But we do need forgiveness. More than that, we need peace. And the thing that we have learned is that peace is elusive. Did you know that for 100 years, the Nobel Peace Prize has been given? It's been given to 134 individuals, 34 agencies or entities, and nations. Organizations like the Red Cross has won the Nobel Peace Prize 3 times. People like Jimmy Carter, Yasser Arafat, Sharon Peres, Mother Teresa, Elie Wiesel, all have won. Once time, even the European Union won the Peace Prize. It's been given 134 times over 100 years. Why? Because war, conflict, hatred, evil keep erupting all across the globe, and it needs to be confronted. Peace is elusive. And one of the reasons it is elusive is that it is not a commodity that we can purchase. It is not a commodity that we can work for. It is not a commodity that we can obtain. Peace comes from a relationship. Peace is a gift. And it's needed more now than ever. If you pay attention at all to any of the news wires, you're discovering that anxiety and depression are on the rise. Isn't it fascinating that we live in one of the most affluent times? Life has never been better. By every conceivable measurement, things are great, and yet we are afraid, we are anxious, we are angry, and we have no peace. We have no peace. And we have passed this on to our children. We have passed our fears on to our children, and anxiety and stress among children has skyrocketed. Depression and anxiety is rampant among our youth. We are medicating people at a rate that would have been unimaginable two generations ago. It is elusive. You cannot purchase peace. You cannot even give it on Amazon. It is not available any other place than relationships. For those of us who are a people of faith, we know that the place that peace is discovered and found is in a relationship with our God, who is not only the author of life, not only the author of love, he is the author of peace. When Israel was first being formed as a nation, in chapter 6 in Numbers, God gave them this: "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace." Shalom, wholeness, completeness, health, the very well-being of God. All that comes from God because he is with us, his face comes down upon us, his grace is given to us, and we have his complete attention. His peace is ours. Everything Israel ever needed was right there, culminating in the peace of God. And then there's Jesus. Isaiah 53, we know these words. "He was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed from our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him." Was on him, on Jesus. Jesus brings us peace. He brings us shalom. The complete wholeness, the maturity, the well-being, the welfare, the tranquility of God. Shalom isn't emptiness, it is the very fullness of the presence and power of God. It is his love living in us. By the way, did you know that God's perfect love casts out fear? That's how it works. The reason we follow Jesus is peace. Peace is integral to salvation. It is peace that passes the understanding of those who have no concept of who Jesus is. It is a peace that even the impressive committee of the Nobel Prize do not yet understand. Thank you, Chris, for reading this. Again, a little context is helpful. You know that Jesus right now is in the upper room. He has washed the feet of his disciples, and now he is giving them words that they're going to need because he's leaving and he's going to let them carry it on. In a few hours, he will be arrested, he will be tortured, and he will be crucified. At the beginning of the chapter, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." Later on in chapter 14, he says this: "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, for my purposes, for my kingdom, for my will, and I will do it. Have no fear, do not be troubled. I will do whatever you ask in my name. If you love me, verse 15 says, obey my keep my commandments. If you were to write it today, Jesus would say, if you love me, do what I tell you. In Luke, he asks this wonderful question. He says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say? Kind of an interesting question, isn't it? If you love me, keep my commands. Obedience, again, it's the key. It starts in Genesis, runs all the way through Revelation. We are called to obey the loving, powerful commands and directions of God. If we love Jesus, if we are committed to him and we are devoted to him, let's do what he asks us to do. They keep his commandments, they keep us safe. His commandments are wise. They are the path of life. The disciples are about to be left on their own to carry on. They're going to see Jesus in the resurrection, as he tells them in just a moment. But after that, they're going to have to carry on and help with the movement of the church, which will establish the kingdom of God. They are, and the only way that they're going to be able to do this is with the presence and the power of Jesus, which is known in peace, and obeying him, to follow him in every regard. If they obey him, he will give them whatever they ask in his name, which means following and obeying him. In his name is how you and I live. And if you do this, he is going to ask the Father, and he's going to give him another paraclete. That's the word, P-A-R-K-L-E-T-E, paraclete. It is the word, and it literally means the one who walks next to you. We translate it with advocate, comforter, helper. Often we see it as a legal authority. No, this is the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of the living God, the power and the very presence of God in our lives, who will guide us, teach us, direct us, and help us. It's called another paraclete because the first paraclete has a name. It's called Jesus. Jesus is the one that has been leading, guiding, and helping each of us. He taught them, he molded the disciples, he empowered them, and now he's asking God to give them another one so that they can continue. The world doesn't know, and they cannot accept him because they have no idea who it is, which makes sense, doesn't it? The disciples only know of the Spirit because they've seen the Spirit operational in Jesus. If you don't know who Jesus is, you have no idea what God is going to do or how he works. But you know him. For he lives with you and he will be in you. That's the promise. You know the Holy Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit. When you said yes to Jesus, God put that in you in order that you may be guided, empowered, gifted, and helped. God put the Holy Spirit in each of us. Sometimes we ask him to fill it up because we haven't been paying attention. We need a little more so we can be aware and do the things that we need to do. I'm going to leave him with you because he will be with you. I've been with you, and now he's going to be in you on the day of Pentecost. I'm not going to leave you as helpless orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone and as if you have nothing there. I'm going to be coming to you. And you're thinking, well, yeah, he's going to come someday. No, he's going to come a lot quicker than that. He is going to be raised from the dead 3 days after he has been crucified. And when they see Jesus, all things change. Everything changes. Which is why it was so hard for them to believe in the first place. It was a miraculous event. Before long, the world is not going to see me, but you will. I find it utterly amazing that when Jesus rose from the dead, probably a little more than 500 people out of the entire population of Israel saw him. That's it. In this day and age, at the very least, he'd have friends on Facebook. They would have Instagrammed him, Snapchapped him. He would have been on YouTube. He would have, oh, man, imagine the followers that would have. I mean, if we're going to watch cat videos, let's see something really powerful like the raised Jesus. But 500 people, why? Because if you get too many people without information, you have mass confusion. Jesus gave it to those he trusted. Those that he was going to give the Holy Spirit to. The resurrection was for the people of faith. And Jesus gives them a promise. Because I live, you will live. Because I live, you will live. Anybody got a song running in their heads? Because he lives. That's the promise. And on that day, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, on that day when you understand all about the risen Christ, the risen anointed one, you will realize that the unity that I have with the Father and the unity you have with me is identical. We often have trouble with the Trinity. You know, there's Father, there's Son, there's Holy Spirit, and we're not quite sure how that all works on the, you know, what happens with it. I mean, they've thought, and I mean, they've got books this thick on it that you don't want to read. But there is a thing that we do understand. They are absolutely unified. And in Jesus, we are unified with him. I'm in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. We are completed. We are made whole. We have shalom. We too are brought into this absolute completeness that God has given to us. Because of the one that walks next to us, this paraclete, the Holy Spirit, Jesus resides in us and we reside in him, and there is this incredible relationship. And then in verse 21, Jesus goes back and says, whoever has my commands keeps them. Well, that's the one that loves me. Doesn't that make sense? That if you love someone, you're going to do what they ask. If you're going to be committed and devoted to that individual, you're going to do what he says. But the amazing thing is that the one who loves me is loved by God. And I will love them and I will show myself to them. We will see Jesus as he is. That great prayer that Jesus talks about in John 17 that he prays for us at the end. People who have never physically seen him, that we would be brought into this unity that Jesus has with God and all of the other disciples. It happens because the Holy Spirit. It is given to us and we are made whole. Complete. In Jesus and in Jesus alone. And then Judas, not the Iscariot, the other one, said, I got a question. Why don't we just show everybody? Why don't we just show everybody? I like how he thinks. He thinks like us. We should just tell everybody. Now let's get the word out. Let's just show everybody. And you know what? Jesus said, no, let's go back to obedience. Okay, why? Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. For the third time, he brings up obedience. Why? Because that's how you understand who Jesus is. The Holy Spirit is there in order that we would not only understand, but we would obey. Life is found in doing the things that Jesus asks us to do. It's amazing. Sometimes we often think of obedience as being something that kind of pushes us down. No, in Jesus, when you obey him, you are liberated. You are freed. For those of you who are parents, how many of you set up rules and guidelines for the detriment of your kids? I want you to do this because it's horrible. I know kids think that, but we do it for their well-being. We do it for their benefit. We do it in order to teach them. We do it so they would become mature, complete people. Same thing with God, only more so. Remember, every time we talk about God, it's how much more is that going to be than us? God does it in order that we would do that. My Father will love them, and we will come to him, and then we will make our home in them. I love this verse because he's going to flesh this out in chapter 15 with the vine and the branches, and he's going to use a word called remain in me, abide in me, live in me, and I will live in you. When I live and love Jesus, all of a sudden his home is made within me. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I have Jesus with me. I am never alone. You are never alone. The presence of Christ is always with you. Now, I've been married. It'll be 40 years this May. I will tell you, I love Sue extraordinarily well, but there are times I do ignore her. I would tell you what I ignore most, but then that's more information than I want you to have. Do you ever ignore people around you? No. It's like people who say they don't fight. We have a word for those people. We call them liars. Of course we do. We ignore people. We're self-centered. I may have the very power and the very presence of Christ within me all the time, but I do ignore him on a regular occasion. I'm not proud of that. I don't lift that up as a good thing. But then I remember his home is in me. His home is in me. I have a relationship with him. His home is in me. Well, that's a remarkable thing. Anyone who doesn't love me doesn't obey my teachings. And we get that. If you don't love Jesus, you don't know him, you're not going to do what he says. But the thing we need to understand is that what Jesus tells us, this doesn't originate with him. It originates with God Almighty. It originates with God the Father. And he said, I have told you this while I'm still with you. And there's a few hours more of this, and then things are really going to get difficult. But the Paraclete, the one who is next to you, the Holy Spirit, the one who the Father will send in my name, is going to teach you and remind you of everything I have said. When you're reading the Bible, do you ever have the experience that all of a sudden something just sort of jumps out at you? Like, oh, wow, that's something. You know, wow. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Do you ever run along the day and all of a sudden a verse comes out of nowhere, the word comes, you may not be able to put the address to it, but the words of Jesus come to you? Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. He will be there and remind you of everything I have said to you so you can have shalom. Shalom, I leave with you. My shalom, the completeness and the wholeness and the maturity and the joy and all that God has, his very life, I give to you. I don't give as the world gives, no. Well, I tell you, people try for peace. They try for reconciliation. The world offers something much different. It simply wants the violence, the strife, the anger to stop. Amazingly, it never changes hearts. It just wants to put a lid on it. It just wants to put a lid on it. Laws don't change hearts. Laws just limit our behavior. If you go back to all those Nobel laureates, the winners of the Peace Prize, everything they did was to stop something. Everything they did was to prevent something. Everything they did was to try and to cause people not to harm and to damage one another. Jesus said, I'm here to make you whole. I'm here to make you complete. I am here to give you life. Isn't it amazing that in the 100 years that this Peace Prize has been given, the animosity never went away? In Christ it does. In Christ it does. In fact, you know the one person who made that Peace Prize and probably had a bigger impact than anyone else was a little Albanian woman by the name of Mother Teresa. And she did that because she belonged to Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. That's how Jesus ends this. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He started the talk this way. He started in chapter 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Now he ends up the same way. Don't let anxiety, depression, fear, anger rule the day. Why? Because you have shalom. You have shalom. Let me tell you something. The reason I'm a Christian is because in Christ I receive what I can get no other place. I get life. I'm saved. I have shalom and forgiveness. But more than that, I have something to give. I have something to give. I can move into situations with something they need. I can bring the wholeness and completeness of Jesus to my the people around me. If you want this country different, it starts here in this room. I promise you that. It starts here. It starts with us. And we bring the shalom of God, the shalom of Christ to every situation we enter. We bring hope. We bring hope. Why am I a Christian? Because no place else has what I need. No place else has given me the love. No place else has given me the life. No place else has given me the forgiveness and the salvation I need. No place else do I find peace. The very shalom of God. The only question I have is, why wouldn't you want that? Why wouldn't you want something like that? Would you pray with me? This morning, Father, we have talked about your presence and your power. We've talked about who you are and what you are. We have talked about the glory of all that you have given. Father, may we share that with those people around us. Father, your disciples prayed for boldness, and you made that place shake to the rafters. Father, we pray for the same thing. If there is someone here this morning, oh God, would they simply pray these words? Those who look for peace, those who long to be made whole, those who long to be made complete, who long to be forgiven and have a life. May they say, Jesus, I am yours. Forgive me of all that I have done. Forgive me of my sins. I want to love you. I want to be in you and to have you in me. I want your peace. Please come to me. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.